الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have today one hadith that is hadith 336 in the series on Umdatul Ahkam. And this hadith deals with the issue of custody. What is the issue of custody? Who is entitled to take care of a child, whether it is in the case of separation between the husband and wife, or in the case of the death of one of them, etc. So, hadith number 336, who would read that for us?
Narrated Al-Bara ibn Azib, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out of Makkah, the daughter of Hamza followed them, calling, "O uncle, O uncle." Ali received her and led her by the hand and said to Fatima, "Take your uncle's daughter." Ali, Jafar and Zaid quarreled about her. Ali said, "I have more right to her as she is my cousin." Jafar said, "She is my uncle's daughter and her aunt is my wife." Zaid said, "She is my brother's daughter." The Prophet ruled that she should be given to her aunt and said that the aunt was like the mother. He then said to Ali, "You are from me and I am from you." And said to Jafar, "You resembled me both in character and appearance." And said to Zaid, "You are our brother in faith and a freed slave."
This hadith is, as stated before, deals with the issue of custody. The specific hadith lies the rules of custody, and the Prophet ﷺ is telling who is worthy of a particular child in this scenario. Three have disputed. Ali ibn Abi Talib, his uncle was Hamza, so this girl is his cousin. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the same situation, he's the brother of Ali. So Hamza is uncle, she's his cousin, but he has an edge. And this edge is that his wife is her aunt. So Ja'far and Hamza were married to sisters. The third one, who is Zayd ibn Haritha, may Allah be pleased with him, Zayd was made the brother of Hamza, if you recall. So Zayd ibn Haritha, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the brother of Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. When they migrated, if you recall, the Prophet ﷺ assigned every one from the Muhajireen, from those who migrated, to a brother of his from the Ansar, from the people of Medina, and they made them brothers, as true blood brothers. Hamza and Zayd both came from Mecca. And this was the exception. The Prophet ﷺ made them brothers and not from the people from Medina of Ansar. So Zayd ibn Haritha is claiming now, "This is my niece. Because I'm the brother of Hamza, she should be with me." The Prophet ruled ﷺ that she should be given to Ja'far because her aunt is the wife of Ja'far. And then the Prophet ﷺ softened their hearts so that they would not be angry. And he said, "Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, you're from me and I'm from you," which is very close. And he said, "Ja'far, you resemble my character and my looks as well. You look like me, and your character of kindness and bravery, etc., are like me as well." And he said to Zayd that, "You are our brother and our mawla, our ally, our freed slave." So now, in the issue of custody, what is the rule? Scholars have discussed this a lot, and nothing is so authentic and strong that one can say, "This is it. This is the decision." One of the main evidences used is when a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said that, "My husband divorced me and he wants to take my child away from me." And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, "No, the child is yours until you get married." But this hadith, some scholars make it hasan, which is authentic, the lowest levels of authenticity, and some say that it is da'if, it is weak. Regardless, this is what is being mainly applied. If the child is below 7 years of age, he should remain with his mother until she gets married. If she's not married, then he remains with her. And they differed whether it's a male child or a girl If it's a female after 70 years of age, they say that it is the right of the husband to take her because this is his honor, his reputation, and he fears over her more than the mother. And the most authentic opinion is that yes, she remains or he remains with his or her mother until she gets married. If she's not married, then she has the right to have their custody. The issue is that sometimes it is the judge who rules because the judge has the power to enforce who gets the custody and who does not. Sometimes a person divorces his wife takes care of the children and she gets the right of custody of the children, but she is not up to it. She is not a righteous woman. She has boyfriends, she goes on parties, she gets men into her house. So is it right to say that, yes, she has the right of custody? No. In this case, she has to submit and give the children to someone who is more worthy. And who is more worthy and who judges this? The Muslim judge or the Imam of the Islamic Center, he looks into it. If the husband complains and says, she doesn't take care of my children, every other week they go to the hospital sick or burnt or injured, she abuses my children. So he rules that she must submit the children to someone else. Who is that someone else? Scholars differ immensely and greatly. Some say it goes to the husband, the father. Others say, no, it goes to the mother of the father, not to the father, because the grandmother, the paternal side, is more capable of taking care. And others say, no, she goes to the grandmother of the maternal side. So it's a long debate between scholars. The most authentic opinion is that the child is to be given to the most suitable for him or for her. So if it's the mother who is unmarried, this is her right. But if she is not fit to take care of him, whether it's financial, whether it's mental, then it is the right of the father to take responsibility. If he is not fit, then the closer to the father's side, so the grandmother from the father's side. If she's not fit, then the grandmother from the mother's side, and the closer they come to the child, the better. Now, having said that, a lot of problems in the West result through custody cases. So many times we see divorce taking place, and what happens afterwards is shameful. If the kids are with the father, he would never allow them to see their mother. And if the kids are with the mother, she would make a restraint order so that the husband, her ex-husband, would not come and see his children. And this is haram. Islamically, this is unacceptable completely. No matter how bad the marriage was, yet still, the children must have equal right to see their parents, whether the father or the mother. And this is something that people should fear Allah in. Moving on to the following chapter. And if you have questions, you may ask them when we, inshallah, open the floor for questions. Hadith number 337. We want someone to read that for us. Yes, sir.
Abdullah ibn Masud reported Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as saying, it is not permissible to take the life of a Muslim who testifies that there is no God worthy of being worshipped but Allah, and I am the messenger of Allah, except in one of the three cases, the married adulterer, a life for life, and the deserter of his deen, Islam, abandoning the Jama'ah, the majority.
Now this hadith inaugurates the chapter that deals with qisas. And this is the equality in punishment. So linguistically, if someone does something to you, it's part of being even that you do the same thing to him. So if someone swears at you, he says, you're a donkey. So you say, you're a donkey, and not exceed. If he says, you're a dog, you're allowed Islamically to say, you're a dog. Now, this is an insult, by the way. Unfortunately, in the so-called civilized world, they consider this as a compliment. So one would say to his friend, you're my dog. And he says, yes, I'm your dog. If you want to be a dog, be my guest. You're a dog. In Islam, this is an insult to say to someone that he's a dog. So to be even is permissible in Islam. However, to forgive and pardon is a higher grade. If you punish, Allah says, if you are punished, you may punish as you were punished. Do not exceed, because this is transgression. And in this first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting to us three topics or issues or sins that allow the ruler to take the life of an individual. So this is a punishment. What are these things? This is what we'll find after the break, so stay tuned.